Ariel Castro's house is cordoned off by police barriers. A helicopter hovers overhead while reporters and curious passerby gawk at the small white house with an American flag waving in the front, trying to imagine what it could have been like for three women to spend a decade in there, locked up. Two of them were just teenagers when they disappeared. For Ariel Castro's neighbors, it's hard to get a grasp on what has happened.
Great guy. Nice guy. Perfect gentleman. The mask he had on was amazing.
Juan Perez has lived two doors down from Ariel Castro for 22 years.
Parents were trusted me enough to let him play with their kids. Real cool guy. Helped me with a flat tire. He was just a really nice guy, and I thought the house was vacant.
Several people thought that. The windows of his house were covered with plastic sheets. For a long time, Ariel worked as a bus driver for Cleveland schools, but he was fired a few years ago. Once, he left a child on a bus while he took a lunch break. Back in the 1990s, he was charged in a domestic dispute case with beating Grimilda Figueroa, the mother of his children. His son, Anthony, has told reporters that Ariel would sometimes beat him, too. Ariel's Facebook page shows a love of guitars and family. Occasionally, he'd play with a local band. But mostly, neighbors say he kept to himself. A couple streets over on Kinkle Avenue is the second brother, O'Neill Castro's home. Neighbors say they never had a problem with the man living in the small, peach-colored house.
Real nice guy, would give you the shirt off his back. Drank every day.
This neighbor, who asked that we not use her name, lives a few doors down. You can see into O'Neill's backyard from her own. She says O'Neill and his brothers always seem nice.
They would sit there, hey, if you need help, you know, just come knock on my door. Hey, do you need this? And, you know, if you want your gutters cleaned out, you know, just, I got the ladder. Da, da, da. They would, sober or drunk, they'd be nice as hell. And it's weird, you know.
O'Neill had minor run-ins with the law. According to public records, he was found guilty of drug abuse and disorderly conduct and intoxication in 1999. And in 2001, he was charged with possessing fireworks. A similar story can be heard not too far away on Hyde Avenue, where the third brother, Pedro, lived with his mother, Lillian Rodriguez. Elisa LaBoy, Pedro's neighbor, says he didn't work, and he too often appeared to be drunk and got cited for it.
Most of the time he was like sitting down in the porch, or if he's decided to go to the corner store, he can pass by and he say something, you know, like hello or something like that.
LaBoy remembers talking to Pedro about the missing girls last year, when police got a tip that one of them is buried nearby and started digging, only to come up empty-handed.
I remember that me and my husband, we were talking about with Pedro about that. And he said, oh, she's not even in there. That's probably they're missing with, you know, with people's minds. And he kept walking to the store.
LaBoy and her sister-in-law used to pick peaches in his backyard and say his mother was quiet and kind. Back on Seymour, Ariel Street, where the women were held, neighbors are second-guessing themselves. Here's Juan Perez again.
I can't even, and the thing is, I'm excited that they found the girls alive, but I can't really be happy because I'm so ticked off at myself and everyone else that we didn't see or hear. Like, we could have saved these ladies so much sooner.
But for the most part, neighbors are just amazed at the apparent horror and the miracle in Cleveland. For Ohio Public Radio, I'm Ida Liaskowski.